The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. Jesus and the disciples went on and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another over who was greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Good morning. Grace and peace to each of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. What if I told you I found a new gospel? Not another book in addition to Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, but another expression of the gospel, the good news in the Bible. Good news that possibly none of you know about, and good news I didn't know about until just recently. Would you believe me? Certainly, you'd want to know what this good news is, right? You'd want to know where in the Bible you could find this good news, right? Well, in a couple minutes, I'm going to tell you what this good news is and where you can find it in the Bible. But first, I'd like to turn this question over to you to contemplate silently for yourselves. When you hear the word gospel, what comes to mind? Great. The good news. So again, when you hear the gospel, what comes to mind? How would you define this term, gospel? In 1522, in his preface to the New Testament, Martin Luther, who months before had translated all 27 books of the New Testament in 11 short weeks from Greek into German, elaborated on the meaning of the word gospel as follows. "For gospel, evangelium, is a Greek word," he writes, "and it means in Greek a good message, glad tidings, good news," as I heard someone say, "a good report, which one sings and tells with gladness." Obviously, there are different types of good news in the Bible. So, how can we make our definition, good news, gospel, more specific? What is the good news, say, of or about Jesus Christ? Or what, more generally, is the good news that we find in both testaments of the Bible, the Old and the New? Is it what we find in Psalm 23, which says, "The Lord is our shepherd"? That by leading us beside still waters, as the same psalm says, God will give us what? Peace. God will make us calm in the midst of storms in our lives. Is that the good news? Or is it again with reference to Psalm 23, that God will walk with us, as the old King James translation says, through the valley of the shadow of death, that God will accompany us no matter what. For you are with me, as verse 4 famously says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Is that the good news? I feel like this is a courtroom. Or is it, in spite of our faults and shortcomings, that God loves us no matter what? That through Jesus Christ we are accepted, embraced, and claimed by God without any merit on our own part, as Ephesians 2:8 says, freed from the impossible burden of having to earn God's love. Is that the good news? Or is it, as Psalm 145 verse 9 tells us, that God's love extends not just to you and me who identify as Christians, but to all of God's creation? That God, as the text says, has, quote, compassion over all that he has made. Is that the good news? That this beautiful but broken world is in the hands of a loving, merciful, and compassionate God. A message all the more important as we destroy what God has made. Or is the good news that death does not have the last word? That perhaps, as the theologian Paul Tillich says, love holds on. I love that line. Love holds on. That nothing, as the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 8, 38 to 39, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Or that God, as Isaiah 25 says, will swallow up death forever and will wipe away the tears from all faces. Is that, dear jury, the good news? Or is it the advent of God's kingdom in this world? The kingdom from the heavens, as the original Greek says, that Jesus starts bringing about through miracles of healing, a kingdom that will turn our social, political, and economic world upside down. Good news, particularly for the poor and the oppressed, which Mary, the mother of Jesus, announces in Luke 1, shortly before Jesus is born. Namely, good news that her soul magnifies the Lord, who will bring down the powerful, she says, the arrogant, the corrupt from their thrones, and lift up the lowly. Good news that God will fill the hungry with good things and send the rich away empty. Is that, at least for some people, the good news? Surely much of what I've shared, if true, is gospel. The good news, the great news that we find scattered like seeds in the fields of Scripture, promises that God, when we are down, when we are crippled, when we are broken in spirit, will accompany us and give us peace, as Psalm 23 says. The good news that when we've done something terribly wrong or can't forgive ourselves for the way we've acted towards someone else, that God forgives and embraces us unconditionally in Jesus Christ. The good news, feeling kind of Baptist today. When someone close to us dies, or we face the prospect that we too will one day die, that perhaps, just perhaps, God's love holds on. That death will not have the last word. The good news that even in this world, where there is rampant injustice, that when the poor cannot eat because of what my favorite singer, Dave Matthews, says, the greedy men who rule the world, the 1%, that God will bring about this kingdom, the kingdom from the heavens, that offers us another vision for the world God actually intended, and that God will empower us to enact it, feeding the poor, not just with spiritual food, but with actual food. Good news indeed for the poor, for the oppressed. All good news, and all of it from where? God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says, thus God has given us through these things his precious and very great promises. Promises so that through them we may become participants of the divine life. And what is faith, if not trusting in these promises? Promises made to us from God. Now, according to a source on the internet, and of course, if it's on the internet, it must be true, there are, in fact, over 7,000 such promises from God to human beings in the Bible. Wow! Only several of which I have described here. That source on the internet actually cites a reputable source, namely an article from Time magazine in December of 1956, which reported of a Canadian school teacher who, upon his 27th time reading the Bible, I've only done 25, determined that God had made, listen to this, some 7,487 promises to be exact, most of which I'm assuming were and are good. Yet the good news, the gospel, as I'm about to suggest, doesn't just come from God to us as human beings. It also comes to us, at least indirectly, from other human beings, the very people who wrote these books of the Bible I've been discussing. Take a look, if you will, at Psalm 54 in your bulletin, as I share with you now the source of this good news, that is, a new gospel. Now, to me, the greatest gospel of the Old and New Testaments is that we are not alone. We discussed this earlier at our adult forum. The first problem human beings encounter, according to Genesis, is loneliness. So the good news in both the Old and the New Testaments, as I see it, is that we are not alone. That God, as Psalm 23 affirms, accompanies us, even in and through our darkest valleys. And that God, as the crucifixion of Jesus illustrates, identifies with us in our human situation, even to the point of experiencing and undergoing death. Now, as a few of you know, I suffer from anxiety and sometimes quite debilitating depression. Usually it's worse at night before I go to sleep. And so normally, perhaps like some of you, I watch TV in bed to drown those voices out. A tactic that sometimes keeps me up watching terrible television until 2 or 3 in the morning. The real source of why the 8 o'clock service is so difficult for me. Last week, however, I had this strange desire, go figure, to read the Bible instead. It's something I've tried on occasion in the past, but with little success. Now, normally, I would turn to the Gospels or to Paul's letters or play the fun game of Bible roulette. You all know that. Not a good game to play. But this time, I turned to the Psalms instead. And guess what I discovered? Lament after lament after lament. Oy vey. Much like we read in our psalm today. Verse 1, save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your might. Save me. And do you know what I discovered upon reading these Psalms? I discovered that I wasn't alone. Only this time I realized it wasn't just God who accompanied me. It was other human beings. These anonymous authors from across centuries who cried out to God in words, just as my spirit was crying out to God without words. And do you know what happened? Gradually, slowly, as I read, I was comforted. It wasn't something I forced or tried. It simply came over me. I began to feel more at ease as I, in unison with these brothers of my faith, complained to God, cried out to God, and sought refuge in God. No longer did I feel alone, but my burden, I realized, was lifted, was shared by other people, a communion of argumentative saints, making me feel lighter and better in the process. Dear friends in Christ, over the last 2 years, I have had the privilege to walk with you in your faith. As I look out at you this morning, I see those of you who have shared with me considerable burdens, whether it's the deep pain that comes with loss or the open wounds that remain from past traumas. The good news, the gospel, is not just that God accompanies us, a presence we don't always feel. The good news is that other people accompany us, that we are not alone, as the psalmists, like we do sometimes, cry out to God, and as Jesus, quoting one of the Psalms, also cries out to God in his last words on the cross. My God," he says, quoting Psalm 22, "why have you forsaken me?" Listen closely. The next time you find yourself in despair, keep a Bible by your bed and turn to it instead of the remote control and read the Psalms. There, I pray, you will find comfort as I did, the new gospel that you and I are joined by a chorus of voices from ages past, that we indeed, thanks to other people, are not alone. Amen.